In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. A man asked Jesus in Luke chapter 13 if there are a few who have life or are sharing in God's life through Jesus Christ. Jesus' reply was, "Strive to enter the narrow gate." It's amazing how he never directed his answers directly and you know, directly in relation to the question. And some people think, oh, he's trying to avoid the question. No, it's Jesus saying, that's not none of your business, basically, very politely. Worry about yourself. You take the plank out of your own eye. Take care of your own burdens first, Matthew 11, and then worry about the burdens of your brothers and sisters. I receive many questions as well, pertaining to things and issues that really don't affect our life with Christ, which will determine our salvation on the day of salvation when Christ returns. One very common question, or that should be asked, one question that I seldom hear and have been posed with is, what is the correct way of repentance and absolution from debts on sins? That's a very, very crucial, very important question we need to ask. How do I repent from my sins? How am I absolved from my sins? Let me put it, reword that. How do I repent from my life that is contrary to the commandments of God, that is not appeasing God? And then when I repent, how can I be absolved from the debts of sins, from the blemishes of sins? Some will say, just pray to Jesus. True. However, Jesus himself gave the keys to binding and loosening to his disciples and apostles. Let's read that in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Jesus replies to Simon, Saint Simon the Rock, when he gave that rock built upon rock foundation proclamation, which we also confess and recite when we sing the La Chumara. I sang it last episode. I'll sing it again. La Chumara Tchulla Maudenan, La Chishom Shicham Shabchinan, Datu Mnachmana. By the way, it's not Mrachmana. Datu Mnachmana Pagrein. Watu paruchat noshatan, unto you, Lord of all, we confess, and you, Jesus Christ, we glorify, for you are the quickener of our bodies, and you are the savior of our souls. When we sing that, when we recite that, when we chant that, praise that hymn during the Eucharistic service, we are joining Simon with that proclamation. And this was Jesus' reply. Truly, I say to you, whatever you ask. Let's continue. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen or release on earth will be released or loosened in heaven. What about that? Actually, to Saint Peter the Rock, he actually gave the keys, not to Jerusalem, not to Bethlehem, not to Nazareth or Galilee or Jordan, no. He gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven for which we await when the Lord returns. Now, apart from binding and loosening spiritual canons, laws by which Christians should live while sharing the life of Christ on earth, apart from that they bound and loosed canons and laws, there is also the loosening and the binding of the sins of man, which is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I should add the gracious gift of God through Jesus Christ to the apostles within the church. That's a great equation. The provisions of God, the gracious provisions, gifts of God are through Jesus Christ, his Son, to the apostles within the church for all the faithful. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Now again, pull over to one side, forget the stirring of the pot and making the tea and buttering the toast, washing the dishes, vacuuming or folding the clothes. Listen intently, beloved. John, this is from the scriptures, Erdata. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. But when it was evening of the first day of the week, Chad Pshabba, Sunday doesn't do its service. Chad Pshabba, there's no justice in Sunday. But the word Chad Pshabba, Chad, one Pshabba week, first day of the week, we say Choshiba. But if we read it as it is written, it's Chad Pshabba. The doors were barred, closed, locked, where the disciples were staying because of fear for the Judeans. They were fearing the Jews, the disciples. Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you," which is the peace we give during the liturgical service towards the end of the service, before the communion. "Peace be with you." He said this and to prove and to put them at ease because they were alert, they were startled. He said this and he showed them his hands and his side. So it was Jesus. It wasn't just the spirit. And his disciples rejoiced because they saw our Lord. Lord Maria, Lord God. But Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. Just listen to this. Just as my Father has sent me, I also am sending you." When he said these things, he breathed upon them and he said to them, "Receive the Spirit of holiness," or the Holy Spirit. "If you will forgive," loosen, release, "a man's sins." He's talking to the apostles, beloved, not to a large congregation, not to us individually. The scriptures don't say that Jesus said that if we individually, he's talking to his apostles. He gave this authority to his apostles. "If you forgive, loosen a man's sins, they will be forgiven him. And if you hold, bound a man's sins or bind them, they will be healed." Them's are authoritative words, beloved, both for Christ, proving to our beloved Jehovah Witnesses friends and Mormons and the non-Christians that Jesus is God. He is God. Just as the Father, so I. Because by nature, he is equal to the Father. He is God. Praise and glory be to his name. And also his apostles. Authority to his apostles, who in turn set an order. A tachsa, we say. There was an order by which the faithful who believed in Jesus Christ would be benefactors of the gracious gift of the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of sins, not only to the faithful, but also to the non-believers. Let me quote from Dr. Martin Luther, the father of reform, in his Handbook of Christian Doctrine, Small Catechism. And this is on confession and absolution. And I quote, and why am I reading this? Is we pose the question, right? How do I repent And how am I cleansed from my sins? How do I repent from my sins and transgressions? And how can I be cleansed from my sins and transgressions? Because let me give you an example. I remember back in Iran, we had the hammam, the public baths, because, you know, water wasn't readily available in the homes. So we would go to the public baths. And I remember my late mother, God rest her soul, and the rest the soul of all those who've departed, would give us a bath and then would tell me to go straight home, do not pass go, what is it? Go straight to jail, do not pass go. Go straight home and wait for me. So what I would do is go straight to my friends and play soccer, football. Guttet akla. Football, soccer. And then get dirty and sweaty. And when mum came back from the baths and saw me sweaty and once again unclean, and when I saw the wooden spoon or the flip-flop or the belt coming towards me, and I would say, I'm sorry, 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 mum, I'm so sorry. And then she would stop. Well, rarely would she stop, you know. After one or two swings, she would then stop and accept my apology. Now, that apology doesn't clean me, does it? No, I receive forgiveness. When I say, I'm sorry, I will not do it again, there's my repentance, promise of repentance. And by promising to repent and beginning repentance and asking forgiveness, I'm still sweaty and smelly and dirty. Unclean, I should say, right? What would mum do? Grab me by the hand, take me inside and wash me again. Cleanse me again. Okay? Let's go back to Martin Luther. He writes on confession and absolution, and I quote, what is confession, he asks. Confession embraces two parts. One is that we confess our sins. The other, that we receive absolution or forgiveness from the priest as from God himself. Martin Luther, the father of reform, father of Protestantism, writes, when the priest is giving absolution, it is as is from God himself, and in no wise doubt, but firmly believe that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. Yes. This was while Martin Luther was a priest in the Roman Catholic Church. However, and unfortunately, after he was defrocked, after he was removed from the office, he then changed his mind, revolted on this statement, and began to teach that there is no need for any other person between you and God. Well, how about Jesus Christ? No one comes to the Father unless it be through me. And I'm sure that's what Martin Luther meant. But what about the apostles who we are to receive in order to receive Jesus Christ and the sender of Jesus Christ? Matthew 10:40-42. He who receives you receives me, talking to the apostles or his disciples, whom he later called apostles. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Keep in mind, Jesus Christ sent his apostles in the world just as the Father sent his Son, John 17:18. This is what Jesus prays during his high priestly prayer. Just as the Father has sent me. Now, if right now there are two listening together and now you're saying to one another, show me in the Bible, give me evidence from the Bible, only the Bible, sola scriptura, we'll talk about that one day, from the Bible, achjimen echdata, right, on confessing our sins to one another apart from God. Why should I confess? Well, the Bible, the Erdata, Sola Scriptura, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another. There it is. confess your sins to one another. Do you stand corrected? If not, you're being stubborn. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. You may say, yeah, see, so we can confess, but not all have received the authority, as in John chapter 20, Jesus said to his disciples, if you forgive, they are forgiven, and if you bind, they are bound. So let's go in the order of absolution in the church. I'm sorry, Stephen, you know, these programs are just very relaxed. Can you, yes, give me that, that's it. Yes, I forgot one of my, there you go. Thank you, Stephen, my producer. Adrina, I couldn't make it. So what is the order of absolution in the church? Okay, let me read from the order of absolution, some excerpts from the order of absolution, and this is what I'm going to use. Now, these are liturgical texts. You cannot tell me mere men just wrote these. No, mere men wrote the scriptures as well, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Well, the apostles, the church fathers who wrote these orders, which are thousands of years in age, were also inspired by the Holy Spirit. They had authority to bind and loosen. Now here they are binding. During the liturgical service, before the partaking of the Holy Communion, the priest prays the prayer of absolution, and Martin Luther said it's as if God himself is bestowing those gifts. The priest prays, and during this time, beloved, on a side note, please get off your phones. If you've been on your Snapchat and Instagram disrespecting God, disrespecting the house of the Lord, because you don't understand. So you've been, you know, scrolling your Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat and sending messages to one another. During this prayer, please stop. Just for a few seconds, please show respect to God, not the priest, the God, a few seconds, and listen. During this time, we are supposed to be confessing, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, these are my weaknesses. Lord, help me. Lord, you make me to be worthy to dare to partake of your holy body and blood. May they not be to me condemnation and vengeance, but forgiveness of sins. And during that time, the priest who has the apostolic authority, according to John 20, that if you bind, they are bound. If you loosen, they are loosened. The priest prays, O our God, good and full of mercy. What beautiful words. What beautiful words. O our good God, God is good always and full of mercy, whose goodness and loving kindness or grace are abundant upon all. Pour forth, O my Lord, the compassion of the pleasantness of your love upon these your servants and handmaidens, and transform them in the hope of renewal to the life of repentance. Renew in them your Holy Spirit, by which they are sealed for the day of salvation. This is from the scripture. Purify them in your compassion from all the blemishes of the flesh and of the spirit. Strengthen the hope of their belief by the help of your grace. Make straight the gate of their deeds in the paths of righteousness. Make them to rejoice with the saints in your kingdom, in the confirmation of the hope of their faith and the adoption of sonship from holy baptism, and in the joy of your absolving mysteries, the body and blood. Strengthen them by the help of your mercy to observe your commandments and to fulfill your will, to give thanks, to worship, and to glorify your holy name, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. This is the prayer of absolution. However, beloved, sin, transgressions, debts are seen very severe and extreme by the church, to the point that there is an order of absolution, a liturgy of absolution, and I will talk about that towards the end. And in the liturgy of absolution, the Father's right that the liturgy of absolution is to be bestowed or prayed upon a person who has left his faith but has returned to it, and on him or her who has eaten flesh, that is meat, in the fasting season or on Friday or Wednesday, because these are apostolic canons, beloved, or on him who has committed any sort of offense, he who is to be absolved must be made to stand at the door of the sanctuary. What up? We didn't know that. Well, you know now. Now you know. Don't look at the past. Don't harp on the past. Don't use the past as a silly and unsustainable justification. You now know that if we do not fast during the Lent, 50-day Lent, 49, or we eat flesh, that is meat, on a Wednesday or on a Friday, we need the liturgy of absolution. And we're going to read some prayers from there. Let me share with you one of the hymns, the antiphons that the priest recites and chants during the preparation of the bread to be taken up on the altar and to be offered as the body and blood of Christ, to be sanctified and to be mysteriously and spiritually changed to be the real presence of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The rubric, the heading says, he heals those that are broken in heart and dressed, that means binds, their wounds. Our Lord gave the medicine of repentance. These are 1,000-year-old liturgy, beloved, written by the church fathers, by the apostles. Our Lord gave the medicine of repentance to the skilled physicians who are the priests of the church. Let him or her whom Satan has stricken with wounds, that means sins and transgressions, and what we spoke about last episode, of wickedness, come and show, that means confess. Come and show, come and confess, show his sores to the disciples of the wise physician, and they will heal him with spiritual medicine, which is the body and blood of Christ. All of this by the power and authority given by God through Jesus Christ to his disciples and apostles and within the church, as we stated in Matthew. Let me read some excerpts from the order of litany. First of all, I want to read an antiphon, Onita antiphon. The rubric states, incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me. Now, the rubrics you'll see are always from the Psalms. The offenders and publicans you did not despise. I'm sorry, before I read this, now, this is the a proper order of repentance. When you go to your spiritual counselor, to your priest, and you show your sores, you confess your sins that you have committed. If they warrant the liturgy of absolution, your parish priest will prescribe you to fasting. And it's usually 50 days, just as the Lord fasted. During that time, you abstain from the holy qurbana, which is a disciplinary action. It's a punishment. It's a loving kind punishment. God punishes those whom he loves. Loving kind punishment. During that time, you attend church. You are to be permitted to remain in the church until the reading of the gospel, followed by the sermon. And when the dismissal of the catechumens, he who has not received it, let him depart. He who will not partake, let him or her depart. You depart and you go back home and you go to your room and you continue in prayer and supplication that the Lord will have mercy upon you. And you read your holy scriptures and you read the life of the holy saints and the writings of the church fathers. And during that time, the priest will continue to speak with you and counsel you until the time that you have come to complete remorse and ready to promise that repentance, to offer that repentance. Then the priest will bring you to the altar and you will be kneeling in front of the sanctuary with your arms crossed on your shoulders as though you are a dead man, because when we are in sin, we are dead. And the priest will recite, along with the deacon, the liturgy of the absolution, not just the prayer. It goes for about 15 to 20 minutes. And one of the antiphons will be said, offenders and publicans you did not despise, O Lord, neither did you cast them from before your face, O my Lord, for you have said that the healthy are not in need of the physicians, but those who are severely afflicted. And we who have committed evil deeds before you and are stricken with illness in our souls request of you to have mercy upon us. Let me read another one. My sores have putrefied, my sores have putrefied and stink. Who is the physician who is able to clean my hidden sores? Or who is able to heal and to dress them? And who is able to deliver me from the fire? The adulteress cried out, I shall loosen the knots of sins and I will draw near to the Lord and Savior. For he did not cast out the publican from before him. And he made the Samaritan woman to return by his words. By his word he gave life to the Syrophoenician woman. And by them, by the hem of his garment, he gave healing to the woman who had the flow of blood. By the word of his goodness, he freed the adulteress from her debts, and he inscribed her in the book of life along with the wise virgins. With all of this company, my soul says at all times, blessed is Christ the Savior. Let me recite a few stanzas from the diaconate litany. Let us stand up in sorrow and in earnest. Let us beseech and say, O Lord, have mercy upon us. And we all reply, O Lord, have mercy upon us. O he who came to call sinners to the path of repentance, we beseech you. O he who revealed to Moses the fashioning of creation at the time of his fast, we repeat, see, because the person that is being absolved is fasting. Oh, he who by the same fast, Jesus, demonstrated to him the former things and revealed him concerning future things. Oh, he who by fasting was reconciled to the offenders and who made resplendent the countenance of Moses, we beseech you. O Christ, our Savior, save your church from all harm and make your servants to rejoice by the gladness of your churches and lessen from your worshippers the burden of debts and sins and have mercy upon us. All this while you are kneeling before the sanctuary. So do not find unsustainable, ridiculous justification, beloved. Last week we spoke about this. God cannot be mocked. God is not deceived. I highly recommend, as your spiritual father, as your brother, as your friend, as your podcast presenter, seek your parish priest. Seek absolution from your parish priest and demand to confess and be absolved. It is in the liturgy of the Assyrian Church of the East. And when you do, always, beloved, always pray, Lord Jesus, the Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and bring me to repentance from my sins and transgressions. Praise and glory be to his holy name, now and at all times, and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.